Welcome to the Crazy Love Podcast. When you read through Scripture, it's clear to see that the people of God are called to live differently than the rest of the world. But sometimes that's easier said than done. In this week's teaching, Francis Chan shares openly about how the Lord has been dealing with him regarding the Sabbath and helps us understand this wonderful gift of both rest and worship.
I shared earlier how God called the Levites to minister to him. And we shared a few weeks ago how the role of the Levite or the priest was in Ezekiel 44:23. It says, "They shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the common, and show them how to distinguish between the unclean and the clean." God says, one of the things we want to do, he tells the Levites, one of the things I want you to do is to teach the people what is holy and what is common. Because everything can get mixed together. And we're not very good with like reserving words for the Lord. And so words like awesome mean very little, because your dinner last night was awesome, right? Maybe. But we use it in that sense, and then we use the same word for God. And you see in the Old Testament times how there were vessels that were for the Lord, like a cup or a bowl, and you wouldn't dare just use that for something else that is sacred. And we've really lost the sense of sacred and common in our day, and everything blends together. And so this can become another thing you do during your week, rather than this, what an amazing honor. Okay, this is what I look forward to. This is sacred. This is different. I look forward to a lot of things during the week, but this is different. It's set apart from everything else. And I was thinking about this as I was talking to some of our elders. In a couple weeks, I want to actually teach through a book of the Bible and possibly Ephesians, and just week by week go through that and just teach through a book of the Bible. But there are a couple things that I feel like I want to address before that, and this may seem strange to bring this topic up, but as I pray about it and the elders have been talking about it, I just can't stop thinking about it recently. And it's the topic of the Sabbath. And some of you know, about a year ago, maybe a little longer, I started praying to God. I go, God, show me where I'm off. Show me things in my life that just aren't right. And it's been an amazing journey. It's been such a life-giving journey where I'm just praying, God, show me where I'm deceived. Because we've all believed things that are not true. But we find out later, I'm like, God, I want to know now. I want to know now every way in which I'm off. Please show it to me. And it's been so good. I thought it hasn't been like this harsh, beat me up, show me everything I'm doing wrong. But everything he's shown me actually leads to life. Because that's what his commands do. And he actually was showing me, like, I try too hard, and I'm still trying to earn his love in some ways. And he was really opened my eyes this last year to his love and how to receive his love and just enjoy his love and not all the time just being, I love you, but to really believe that he is screaming that back, that he is the one that initiated that love. And that he's the one that is singing over me right now. and these areas that we think we're off in, that we think is actually going to bring difficulty into our lives, those are actually the things that are going to bring life. Okay? All of his commands lead to life. And in talking about distinguishing between what is common and what is sacred, it really wasn't until this week that I realized the first time God really does that is in the book of Genesis and in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." So God says he created the world in 6 days, and then on the seventh day, he rested. And then, I'm going to get the words exactly right, he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Do you ever think about that? I seriously never really thought about that verse in that way. That doesn't say he blessed the sixth day and the fifth day and the fourth day, and he blessed every day the same. There was something distinct about the seventh day. And he says, I bless it, and I'm going to make it holy. So now, for the first time, we see him distinguish the common from the holy. In these 6 days, he worked. The seventh day, he rested. The next time we read about this is in Exodus chapter 16. And let's remember we're distinguishing between the common. So I'll give you my thoughts from here. This is common. I'm just a human giving you some thoughts. I could be wrong on some of these things. But then now we're about to hear from the Word of God. And this is sacred. This is holy. This is coming from God himself. So let's, with reverence, listen to the word of God.
They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent. And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, let no one leave any of it over till the morning. But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, this is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning. So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day.
So you have an Exodus. It says in verse 4, you know, I'm about to rain bread from heaven, and the people go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them. He says, I'm doing this because I want to test them. God says, I just want to see if they'll listen to me. And so, you know, I mean, it's they go out, they gather this food, but then they fail the test. You know, they get greedy. They go, well, I don't want to just get a day's portion because how do I know this stuff is going to show up tomorrow? Like it's like this miraculous bread-like substance showing up on the ground. It's like you can see the temptation to go, okay, that's crazy. How do I know it's going to happen tomorrow? I better grab a little bit extra. Okay, it didn't, in their reasoning, we can look and go, well, that was dumb. I mean, God says he's going to make bread come down from heaven And shouldn't you just obey when it shows up? But it's just human nature to go, I'm going to grab a little bit extra. And they fail the test. And then he says, okay, here we go. On the sixth day, you know, you can, I want you to grab a little extra. I want you to grab for 2 days. And because on the seventh day, there won't be any. And so then here's another miracle. They grab twice as much on the sixth day, and this time it doesn't rot. Because again, it's like, well, last time we took extra, it rotted. Well, this time it didn't, because God blessed it. And then what do they do on that seventh day? They go, let's go look for some more. And God's like, I told you there wasn't going to be any. It's just one of those stories where, again, God is testing them, going, do you believe in my provision? Do you believe in my word? And then you guys are familiar with Exodus 20, where you have the Ten Commandments.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy.
So now we have the Ten Commandments. We're all familiar with the Ten Commandments. It's interesting to me that, you know, someone named one of the Ten Commandments. Say it out loud. Don't murder. Good. Do we still keep that one? Don't murder. You guys are a little hesitant. All right. Okay, what's another one? Honor your father and mother. Should that still be a commandment? You guys want to vote that one in still? Okay, good, good. What else? Don't steal. Is that good? We're still good with that? Do not covet. Thank you. That one we do not think about enough. But we still agree it's good, right? I mean, that's just, you guys understand coveting, like desiring what someone else has. Desiring something you don't have. It's a big one. What else? What's that? Love the Lord your God. Yeah, and like not have any other gods before us. Good. My point is, all of the commandments, at least 9 out of 10, we say, yeah, they're still for. But the idea of having a Sabbath day and keeping it holy, I myself have kind of like, I don't know if that one still stands. And the reason is Colossians 2. I didn't say you could sit down. Colossians 2. There's good reason for it, okay? It's not like we just randomly said, hey, let's disobey this one. Or even me. I looked at scripture early on in my life, and I studied this, kinda. At the time, I'm thinking, Sunday is the busiest day of my week. I used to preach like 4 services every Sunday, and so I thought, well, I can't do it on Sunday. That's like the most stressful day to me, dealing with thousands of people and all these services and kids everywhere. And then Saturday, I was traveling and speaking just about every Saturday of the year. So then I'm thinking, well, I can't really Sabbath on Saturday. God would want me to preach. I can't really Sabbath on Sunday. God would want me to preach. And so I'd say, yeah, maybe Wednesday I'll just take it easier, whatever. But that example to the church, I felt like it was okay because of this passage.
Colossians 2?
Yeah, 16 and 17.
Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ.
So he says, don't let anyone judge you regarding these things, because those things are the shadow. It's the Old Testament. And it was all pointing to a rest that we would have in Christ. And then Romans chapter 14, verse 5.
One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind.
So because of those two verses, I thought, okay, well, it says one person esteems one day, another person esteems. But then he says, everyone must be convinced in his own mind. And on the passage before in Colossians 2, he says, don't let anyone judge you in regards to a new moon festival or a Sabbath. And so I looked at those verses and I'm going, okay, so you have people, here's what's happening back then. You have people who have kept the seventh day holy. Some of you who've been to Israel, you see they still do that. Come Friday night, they call the Shabbat. You know, they have a dinner together. There are people that don't turn on electricity. There's others who won't bake. If you're in a hotel in Israel, it's kind of annoying because it stops on every floor on the Sabbath because they don't want people pushing buttons. And so if you're on the 15th floor, you're stopping at every floor because it's like, hey, we don't work on the Sabbath. Pushing a button would be Sabbath, you know, would be breaking the Sabbath. So it's serious. It's serious. I mean, I was, you know, someone was driving me somewhere on the Sabbath and these Orthodox Jews start yelling at us as they're walking down the street because you're driving on the Sabbath. But in my mind, I'm thinking, you're walking, that's more work. You know, but hey, you know, but I respect it. And but it's one of those things where we had a Sabbath dinner on a Friday night with a family, and they just talked about, you know, they went through like a little I don't want to call it a ritual, but they had this practice where they would recall the story of creation around the table. And some things were read, and there was a blessing that the dad prayed over his wife and over the kids, and it was just so beautiful. And then for the next day, there's no work. You don't do any work. It's a day of rest. And it's been that way from the beginning. In fact, a lot of, you know, God rescuing the Jews from slavery, where they had to work 7 days a week, and God rescues them from that slavery and pulls them out in the desert and gives them these commands and says, look, I'm giving you this day of rest. It's a day that's holy. It's set apart. But you do have those verses in the New Testament where it says, hey, don't let anyone judge you as to a Sabbath day. I believe, I mean, from what I understand, if you read in the New Testament, there's different times, like in Revelation, when it'll refer to Sunday as the Lord's Day. And what seemed to happen because Jesus rose from the grave on Sunday is you have the believers, the followers of Jesus, who have this Jewish background that are going, wait, let's worship him on Sunday. Let's switch that Sabbath day to Sunday because that's the day that he rose. And this will distinguish us from those who are still just focused on the old covenant, and we're going to actually practice the day of rest on Sunday so we always remember the resurrection. And so this seems to be more of the dispute that Paul is addressing in Romans and Colossians, is like, hey, let's not fight about this one. Let's not divide over this one. If one person thinks it should be Saturday and another person thinks it should be Sunday, hey, that is not something we should divide over. And he goes, and another person may say, well, no, every day it should be for the Lord. Every day should be for, you know. And it was just one of those things in Romans 14 where when I read it back then, you know, back then meaning like 30 years ago, 25 years ago, I just thought, okay, as long as I rest at some point during the week. But I never completely felt peace about it. And so it's weird that the very verse that got me to not really practice a true Sabbath, I look at now and I go, gosh, it says, but let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. And I just don't know that I've ever been fully convinced that it was okay to not set aside a day of rest set apart for the Lord. I feel like I rationalized some things. I justified some things, thinking, well, I'm a pastor, so I don't really get to have a Sabbath like everyone else. I'm trying to serve the Lord. It's not like I'm out making money. I'm trying to further his kingdom. And so there were different reasons why I felt like it was okay. But just recently, I've been just thinking it through more deeply, been challenged by different people, and I'm going, I need to change a pattern in my life. And even when we were in Israel and we were at the Sabbath dinner that night, you know, my kids are looking at me like, how come we don't do this? And I'm like, is your dad screwed up? You know, like I think I missed it. This was, you know, and Jesus made it very clear, because they started making all these rules on Sabbath to where it became burdensome for people. And Jesus is saying, you've got to understand, Sabbath was made for man. Man wasn't made for Sabbath. This was like a blessing to you. This was a gift to you, just like all of his commands. But Sabbath, he goes, this was made for you. Why are you making it such a hard, burdensome thing on people? And to where he's saying, you know, he goes, like, if your ox falls in a pit, you know, aren't you going to get it out, even though it's Sabbath? And because they were complaining that Jesus was healing on the Sabbath. And he goes, this guy is suffering, and I'm blessing him on the Sabbath. Sabbath is supposed to be a blessing. It's made for man. And I don't know if you practice a regular Sabbath. And part of me, I started thinking, gosh, I'm going to try to change and have a sacred day and have the day be a restful day. And as elders, we've been talking about that. How do we make that work, you know, with our house church leaders? That's a lot of work on that day for them, you know, getting the house ready and everything else, and then shepherding the people, counseling people, leading a gathering. How do we make it restful? And we're praying about that, trying to figure that out. We're just saying, but we need to. And so I just thought, let me just bring it out to you and get you to think about some of these things that the scriptures say. And yet, as we do it, we need to be very careful that we don't judge one another based upon each person's practice of the Sabbath, but that we all are fully convinced in our own mind. And we go, this, I feel peace about this pattern. I've prayed about it. And I want to apologize to you, anyone else who's been following me. I think this is something that I failed in. And I justified it because I thought I'm pursuing the kingdom. And so therefore, it's the right thing to do. But you know who I was really convicted by last week was one of our elders, Kevin Shedden. So Kevin leads a house church in Fremont, and dear, dear family that those of us who know them just adore them, love them. They are absolute family, absolute everything. I love Kevin, Liz, and all their little kids. I don't think I can name them all, but I know a couple. But I know them. Just don't it would just take a while. But he was working with the church and then, still leading a church. But he says, I don't want to get paid in any way. So he became a manager at Chick-fil-A. And last week we started talking about Chick-fil-A. You guys know they're closed on Sunday. That's our Chick-fil-A. And he was just starts quoting all these stats about how the average Chick-fil-A is making more than twice the average McDonald's. And they're closed one day. And one day a week probably would have been their busiest day of the week. But it's a commitment they've made to keep the Sabbath and say, no, that people should be worshiping. And so the question is, because when they calculate everything out, he says, we give up $4 billion a year by being closed on Sunday. So the question then is, if they opened on Sunday, would they make an extra $4 billion a year? What do you think? How many would say yes? How many would say no? Okay. Good. Why not? It's math. Yeah, why? They need to rest so they can make more chicken on Monday. Okay. Because if they didn't rest on Sunday, they'd be all tired. Okay. Could be it. What else? What other reason? What do you think? Those who say they would not make $4 billion extra. Yeah, Lord blesses people on the Sabbath. That could this be God's blessing? That because they kept the Sabbath, that therefore he blesses them more. It's kind of like the tithe. Okay, so let's say I make $100,000 a year and I tithe. That was a biblical practice to give 10% to the ministry. And so let's say I make $100,000 a year and I decide to tithe. So that means I'm left with $90,000 a year. So the person who does not tithe gets to keep $100,000. Let's say two people. Let's say I'm here, I make $100,000, Peter's over there. Oh, you can be right there. Peter's right there, and when he ever gets a job, he makes $100,000. But I decide to tithe. I decide to give 10% to the church. Who will have more money at the end of the year? Me or Peter? Now, mathematically, you go, well, Peter would. But if you look at Malachi It's your cue. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12.
Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil. And your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts.
Thank you. So what does God say there? He says, you guys are robbing me. You're not giving me the 10%. And then he says, why don't you? This is the only time where God says, you test me. He goes, test me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and see if I don't open the floodgates of heaven and I bless you. This is the only time we see God says, try me. Try me. Give me the whole 10% and see what happens. He says to them in Malachi. And so for those who would say, yeah, you know what, if you give your 10%, I bet you'll be better off than Peter. I go, yeah, I believe you're right. But even if I wasn't, I would still do it. But this has been a pattern in my life since I was a kid. I would never give less than 10%. And to me, that was like bare minimum and just give more, more, more. Try to give. Many people who are, not many, but I've talked to several people who said every year I give a greater percentage of my income. I remember hearing that as a high school student, this one guy who said, I start giving an extra percent every year. And he goes, and now I am giving 90% and living off of 10%. Somehow God blessed him that way. And that's been the story of my life every year, just challenging, like, let me see if I can give this percent, this percent, this percent. And somehow I just keep getting blessed in this way. And it's all good. But when it came to the Sabbath, I didn't apply the same principle. And so that's something that I just confess, and I'm going, Lord, I want to change that. Because again, let's say two people are in college and one decides, I'm going to study every single day. And the other guy says, I'm going to keep a Sabbath. Who's going to do better on the test? And they're both Chinese. So, just kidding. But it's the whole point is, hey, do we believe in this supernatural provision of God? And if he says, I blessed that seventh day and I made it holy, there's some sort of blessing in that. I believe it's like the tithe. I believe it's like the week, you know, the week and the tithe and everything else. There's a sense in which it's faith. We live differently. Like, we're supposed to be a group of people who on the earth, we just live differently. You know? So everyone else can work 7 days a week, and I'm like, I know I could be making a lot more if I work this day, but I'm different. That's not what I do. We give differently. Yeah, in my logic, I would think I would make a lot more if I didn't give to the poor and I didn't give to the church, but you know, we're people of faith. And just like he tested those Israelites in the desert, he goes, I just want to see if you'd obey me. I told you not to collect anymore. I told you not to collect on the seventh day. You didn't listen to me. And then you go out and then you try to find it on the seventh day. I told you there wouldn't be anything. It would just be a waste of your energy. And if you look in the book of Haggai, you know, he tells the people, he goes, hey, you notice how you keep working? But it's almost like, he says, he used the term, you save it in purses with holes in them. He goes, you're gaining all this stuff and you're wondering, how come I'm not getting ahead? And he says, it's because whenever you earn it, I blow it away. He goes, I make sure you don't get ahead. He goes, you know why? Because my house is in ruins and you're just thinking about your own house. I thought, wow, that's powerful. So I don't know what this means for us as a church exactly. But I just felt like we're working on this. We're praying about this. We're going to make changes to our life. And there's part of me that's like, gosh, we're already old and you know, why change now? And it's like, well, because it's right. And also because I want that example in my family, because I want my kids to grow up thinking about the Sabbath and trusting in the Sabbath. And I want them to think about it every week. Why can't I work today? It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm different from the rest of the world. And I'm going to trust that God's going to provide for me. You know, even with finances, it's like trying to teach them at a young age, hey, if I were you, I'd give 10% to the Lord at least. And just to show, just because I've seen how God has blessed me in obeying his laws, and his laws have led to life. And again, how you practice the Sabbath, I'm not going to judge you on that. The Bible commands us not to. And so we don't want to go around saying, must be Saturday, must be Sunday, it could be any day, it could be, you know, a few hours a day. It, you know, whatever, you just have to be fully convinced in your own mind that you are obeying the Sabbath the way that God intended it for you. And so we're not going to fight over this. We're not going to divide over this. But I think it's a blessing, and I don't want you to miss out. I look back, and I look at people who have practiced the Sabbath, and I'm like, yeah, I think I messed up on this one. But we'll change it. Right? Couple of old dogs learning a new trick. Can't teach old dogs how to read, but I know it's kind of a strange topic to bring up in light of everything that we were, you know, we've been talking about. But when I look at Genesis 2, I go, gosh, he really did set aside a day and bless it, and he made it holy, and he distinguished it from the other days. So I just want us to pray about this as a church and seek to be faithful in this. But let's spend some time just in prayer right now, even as we worship. Let's minister to the Lord even in our thoughts. I encourage you to pray the prayer that I prayed all year. Show me if I've been deceived. Show me if I'm off. Same prayer David prayed. He goes, just see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. Show me if I'm off in this and I'm not trusting you with my time, with my finances. Father, as we seek to minister to you right now, please, would your Holy Spirit just fall upon all of my brothers and sisters. Lead us to a right obedience to your word. Even if we land in different places, God, may there be a deep unity in this room, because all of us are truly saying to you, we just want to obey you. So we surrender tonight our time, our finances, our actions, Lord. Help us be set apart from the rest of the world. We just blend in way too much. Help us to be the light of the world. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the Crazy Love Podcast. Join us next time for a new episode, but until then, for more resources from Crazy Love Ministries or to support the work of Crazy Love, please visit our website at crazylove.org.